Bible reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And they lived happily ever after. That's not how the story ends, but those are probably the most well-known last words in all of literature and storytelling. No one knows exactly when it was first used, that phrase, but it goes back at least 300 years. We have examples of it. Since then, there have been many more famous last words in literature and movies. There's no place like home in The Wizard of Oz. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship in Casablanca. Tomorrow is another day. It was everything I could do not to dramatically reenact that from Gone with the Wind, one of my favorite movies. And who could forget the immortal, "That's all, folks," Porky Pig. Words that sum up the whole story or leave us with something memorable, some sense of hope for the future. And it's not just in literature and movies. We assign a special weight or significance to the last thing that someone says. A person's last words to us, or last words in life, carry meaning for us. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, two founding fathers and presidents who were bitter political rivals in their earlier years. They literally hated each other, but later in life became dear friends. They hadn't spoken for years, but started corresponding by letters when they were both older and sick and nearing their deaths. And it was exactly 50 years to the day after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. July 4th, 1826, Jefferson woke up early that morning, looked at his doctor and said, "Is it the 4th? His doctor nodded, and then Jefferson died. Hours later, John Adams spoke his last words, "It is the glorious 4th of July. Jefferson lives," not knowing that his friend had died hours earlier. Unfortunately, not all last words are remembered because they're beautiful or solemn or have some deep meaning. There was a general in the Civil War named John Sedgwick who said, "They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance." Those were his last words. British soldier in World War II named Lawrence Beter, who said, "Maybe they only had one rocket." They did not. Those were his last words. The poet Dylan Thomas wrote that amazing poem about making the most of your life before you die. "Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Unfortunately for him, he didn't take his own advice. His last words were, "I've had 18 straight whiskeys. I think that's the record." That was it. Or Pancho Villa, a general in the Mexican Revolutionary War, who said, "Don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something." They did. They told us that. German philosopher Karl Marx, when asked by his housekeeper if he had any last words that he wanted recorded, said to her, "Go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough." In our scripture readings today, we hear the last words that Jesus spoke on earth before ascending into heaven. Now, you would think that the fact that these were Jesus' last words would make them incredibly significant and important to record accurately. But the Gospels can't seem to agree on exactly what Jesus' last words were. First, we heard his last words from the book of Acts, where he says, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then we heard Jesus' last words from Luke's gospel. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then Jesus blesses his disciples as he's carried up into heaven, but we don't even get the words of the blessing. That seems like it would be something significant to record. And the funny thing is, Luke and Acts are said to have been written by the same person. And the author can't even agree with himself on what Jesus' last words are. And then finally, we heard what are probably the most famous of Jesus' last words, referred to as the Great Commission from Matthew's Gospel. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Now, while there is some disagreement there as to exactly what Jesus' last words are, there is a common theme that runs through all of those. In each one of those accounts, Jesus tells the disciples that the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and they are to go out and tell others the things that they have seen and learned in him. Holy Spirit, tell others. In Acts, he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. In Luke, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. You will be clothed with power from on high, and you are my witnesses to all nations. And in Matthew, make disciples of all nations, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always. And what's implied there is, I am with you always through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's presence with you. In fact, it's notable that there is not even an ascension in Matthew's gospel. There's no point at which Jesus is taken up into heaven that we have written here. Jesus just says, go, because I am with you always. There's a sense in which these are not Jesus' last words, because Jesus did not really leave them or us. He is going with us, just in a new way, and will be with us until the end of the age. 2 weeks ago, we said goodbye to Ellen and Doug Moeller as they moved to Indianapolis, and after worship, we're down in the fellowship hall talking until there were just a few of us left, and when Ellen and Doug turned to leave, they didn't say goodbye or any other traditional recognition of an ending. Ellen said very simply, and I think deliberately, until next time, and walked out the door. We just didn't think next time would be so soon already. But we're glad. We're glad it is. It strikes me that that's what Jesus is doing here. He isn't saying goodbye. He is saying, until next time, because I am never fully leaving you, I will always be with you, just in a different way. The problem is, we hear this story of ascension, and we think of Jesus having left this world. And we often live our lives as if he was not with us. We treat each other as if Jesus is not with us always. We speak to each other and to ourselves as if Jesus is not with us always. We treat this planet and its resources as if Jesus is not with us always. We spend our time and our money as if Jesus is not with us always. We get frustrated and angry and scared and lose hope, and we despair as if Jesus is not with us always. We spend our lives trying to clothe ourselves in power, whether it's political power, social or economic power, personal empowerment, when the last thing that Jesus said was, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus has not abandoned this world for us. Jesus has transcended this world to rule over this world. And he says to us, you will be clothed with power, not from your own personal striving or your domination of others. You will be clothed with power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the Holy Spirit has come upon us. 2,000 years ago, next Sunday, on Pentecost, God's Spirit rushed into this world and it has never left. We breathed it in when we took our first breath and it will not depart from us even when we take our last. God is still with us, always with us. Our challenge, our calling, is to trust that God is constantly present with us and to live like God is constantly present with us. To think and speak and act like God is constantly present with us. To treat this world and its creatures and its resources like God is constantly present with us. To spend our time and our money like God is constantly present with us. To treat those who are poor and oppressed like God is constantly with us, because Jesus has told us that God is constantly present with us in them. As you do to the least of these, you do to me, he says. We have been clothed with power from on high, and we must wield whatever power and privilege we have in ways that show we believe that God is constantly present with us. Because God is. And we get to be reminded of that today in this meal. As we share in Christ's body and Christ's blood, we are reminded that Christ is present with us here and now through the power of the Holy Spirit, strengthening and nourishing us to love God and love our neighbor, to bear witness to the world of Christ's presence and power, Christ's rule and reign and grace and peace and forgiveness and love in this world and in our lives. Christ has not left this world. He is just present in a different way that is a little bit harder to see, because his Spirit is within each person, every person. So we just have to look a little deeper within each other and within ourselves to see him. When we do, we will be reminded of those last words, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray. Gracious God, we hear those words. We hear that promise. Yet sometimes it is so hard to trust. When we are surrounded by sickness and suffering, and we despair, and we are frustrated, and scared. Remind us through this meal, through your word, through each other, that you are constantly present with us. May our lives be transformed by that good news so we can go out here and live ways that reflect it. And we look for your presence in others, even those with whom we are at odds. Seeing you in them, we can see you in anyone. We can experience your grace and peace in new ways. So as we prepare to come to this table now, we have an awareness of your Holy Spirit with us. That in this meal, we are not simply feeding one another. You're being fed by you, nourished by you, and strengthened for this life of faith by you. That when we leave here, we do not merely leave with each other, but you go with us. May it be so, in Jesus' name.